Aren't those images of forgiveness so powerful? We feel them deeply inside of us because every one of us at some point or maybe at many points in your life, you've been wronged. You've had something happen to you or somebody has done something against you and it has hurt you. And you know that you need to forgive, but it's so hard to do that. As I watched through that video a few times, it's the man who holds up the sign that said, "You killed my daughter," just ripped my heart out when he holds that sign and when he flips it over. And you can still see he's just stoic, but he says, like, "You do not know what you did. You know, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this idea of forgiveness just reaches into the depths of who we are because we have all gone through it at some point in our life. The need to forgive, the need to be forgiven. And so we're in this series right now called Now What? And we've been talking about a lot of different things. And today I want to talk about the now what. And it's different for every one of us at the different places in our life, but all of us have to address the idea of forgiveness at some point. And so now what? Forgiven. Forgiveness. Where are you at in your life when it comes to this idea of living up into who God has created you to be? What role does your need to forgive somebody else, or your need to be forgiven, or your need for forgiveness from God, what role does that play into where you are right now? And it's different for all of us. But no matter how long or how passionately you have followed Jesus to this point, we all have to address this issue because forgiveness is this process that we're constantly going through. Life is a process that we're constantly going through, and people are sinning and they're wronging each other, and there's a need for forgiveness. There's a need to give forgiveness, and we're constantly living in it. It's at the very root of all that it means to be a Christ follower, this idea of forgiveness. The very foundation of what it means to be a Christian is that we confess our sins to the Lord and he forgives us for sinning so that we can have a renewed and redeemed relationship with him. Our faith as Christians does not exist without forgiveness. Jesus came into this world to bring forgiveness for sins, and most of us gladly and joyfully accept that forgiveness from God. But where it gets complicated is where God then says, okay, now that you've been forgiven, I want you to be models of what it looks like to forgive. And that's where we pull back a little bit, like, ah, I really like your forgiveness, God, but giving it is a lot harder. I want to talk about three main ideas today when it comes to forgiveness. And the first one is going to be by far the longest one. It's one that I think we need to deal with a lot. And the first main point is forgiveness to others. Forgiveness to other people. The Word of God is incredibly clear on this. Verse after verse, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And notice this, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Look at that, just as. Keep that in mind. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Our forgiveness of other people is throughout the scriptures, and if you look at the Lord's Prayer that we speak all the time, it's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And in that prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 12, it says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And verse 12, look at this, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Throughout all of these verses, we see that the assumption of Jesus is that as Christians who are forgiven, we will give forgiveness. And there's this thing that ties in throughout it, that we are to forgive as God forgave us. Do you want God to forgive you the exact same way that you have forgiven others? I don't. I'm not good at forgiving others. Not nearly as good as God is. I get real uncomfortable with the idea that God is going to forgive me the exact same way that I have forgiven others, because sometimes I'm really bad at it. And that's why the next couple verses are even scarier to me. Right there in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, some strong words. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 15, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Those are very strong words. And the part of me that wants to hold on to my unforgiveness and not let people off the hook for the ways that they've wronged me gets real uncomfortable when I read those words. It's a really difficult passage for a lot of people. They've been wronged and hurt and sinned against. And here's where maybe you are today is you have been wronged, and the person that wronged you has not earned the right to be forgiven. Maybe you feel that way. And maybe you have every human right to feel that way. But here's the thing. Have any of us earned the right to be forgiven by God? No. Nobody has earned this forgiveness that God has given us, except for Jesus himself. Forgiveness is not performance-based. Nobody can truly earn it. It can only be given by the victim freely. God paid the cost, and the cost was his son's life. C.S. Lewis is one of the most brilliant men that ever walked this earth, as far as I'm concerned. He's a Christian man, and he said this: to be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Isn't that true? For us to walk with God means to be more like God. And if we are more like God, then we must forgive like God. And God forgives in a way that we can't even comprehend. I know in a group of people this large, there's a lot of people that have tremendous forgiveness problems. There's something that's happened to you, some relationship that's broken, and you just can't move past it. And maybe, again, you have every human reason to feel that. You've been abused, whether it's mentally, physically, sexually, emotionally. You've had someone commit infidelity against you or abandon you. You've lost a loved one. I want to be sensitive to all those things, because I know there are people in here that have gone through all those things. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, Nick, I can't do it. I cannot forgive. I cannot move on. It's just not possible. And yet, in the middle of all of that, God calls us to forgive. I don't know your situation, but God does. God knows every hurt, every pain, every anguish in your heart and mind. He knows every wrong that's been committed against you, and still, He calls all of us to forgive. In fact, it becomes the centerpiece of His teaching. Martin Luther, the great church reformer, said, "Forgiveness is God's command." At the center of His teaching, He commands us to forgive. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see Peter. Peter's my favorite disciple, because he's always messing up and always doing dumb things, and I just feel like I would be him if I was there. And so I love Peter, and I love in this story, Peter's probably trying to sound really spiritual and failing. Like, he's probably trying to be like, "Hey guys, watch, I'm going to be super spiritual. Hey Jesus, how many times should I forgive people? Like 7? Because I'm super spiritual? 7? And Jesus says, "No, Peter, not 7. 70 times 7. And again, if Peter's like me, he's doing math. 490. I'm going to forgive you 490, 490 times, but on 491... That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's endless. Forgiveness goes on forever. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stop forgiving me at 490 sins, because kindergarten would have been awful if He stopped there. Pastor Paul and I were talking between services, and he had a really good point, and I hadn't thought about this, but that idea that Jesus is counting my sins, like, what's amazing is that once we are forgiven, Jesus never makes it to 2. He forgives us one time, and then He stops counting. So not only does He not make it to 490, He doesn't make it to 2. That's incredible. That's the forgiveness of God that we try to model our lives after. Talking about Jesus and Peter makes me think about another story in the Bible. And it's a story that we don't often think about in terms of forgiveness, but I think forgiveness is a huge part of it. I had a friend when I was in 4th and 5th grade. I lived in Southern California, and my best friend's name was Mickey, because when you're in 4th grade, people still go by Mickey. And he was my best friend, and we were in a school basically, we were the 2 white kids in the whole school. And so we were friends, like best friends at home. But then when we'd go to school, Mickey would like pretend to not be friends with me. He would just deny me. And I would get made fun of because I was like the one white kid. And somehow he like got, like, he was blonde hair, blue eyes, but somehow he was like not the white kid and I was the white kid. It was weird. But he was friends with everyone. He was really, really popular, and I wasn't. And so he would just, like, deny me, like, even knowing me. And then every day after school, he would like catch up to me as I was going home all upset and mad at him. And I'd be like, I'm never going to talk to Mickey again. And he'd catch up and be like, I was just kidding around, man. We're best friends. And we'd go home and play because I was lame. So I would just be like, yeah, whatever. We're best friends. This won't happen tomorrow. Yes, it will. But that idea of just being denied as a person from someone who's like your best friend who loves you, it was really painful. And I think about that with Jesus and the story most of you probably remember. Jesus tells Peter at the Last Supper, like, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no, man, I'm your guy. Remember, you're going to build this church upon this rock. Like, I'm your guy. I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, no, you will. You'll deny me three times. And when you do the third time, a rooster will crow. So Jesus gets arrested and everything, and he's tortured, and people start asking Peter, hey, aren't you that guy who hangs out with that Jewish rabbi? And he's like, nope, not me. Hey, aren't you that guy who hangs out with Jesus, Galilee? And, nope, wasn't me. And then the third time, it's a little girl. That's my favorite part of the story. It's like he's afraid of a little girl. The little girl's like, hey, aren't you that guy? He's like, no, I swear, it's not me. And a rooster crows, and the Bible tells us that right then, the Lord Jesus turns and looks at Peter. And Peter makes eye contact with Jesus, and he realizes in that moment that exactly what Jesus told him came true. He denied him three times, this man who he loves, he's given his life to. And that moment must have just been absolute pain for both of them. Peter realizing he's denied Christ, Christ being denied by one of his best friends, and Christ has some more things to deal with at that point, but it's still, even in that moment, that must have hurt. And the forgiveness that Jesus shows, we don't see it spelt out in the scriptures, but Peter still goes on to be one of the main church fathers. Jesus still uses Peter to do amazing things, even though Peter just flatly denied even knowing him. Christ forgives him and moves on. Here's the thing I don't think that we understand about forgiveness. We get confused and we think that forgiveness is about the other person, but it's not. It's about us. When you forgive somebody, you're not forgiving them, for their sake. You are forgiving for your sake because you're the one who is being trapped by this unforgiveness in your life. God doesn't want that for you. Unforgiveness steals our lives. It steals our blessings. It steals the passion of life that we are meant to have. That, as Paul says it over and over again, Pastor Paul, living up into who God has made us, it takes that away from us. And God hates things that take away life from his children. I have three little kids, and I hate anything that would take away joy and blessing and life from them. God feels the same way for us. We misunderstand it. Forgiveness also doesn't mean forget. To forgive somebody doesn't mean you're going to forget completely what happened and put yourself in another situation where you'll get hurt over and over and over again. It doesn't mean that for us. You can forgive someone and then still keep a safe distance, not allow them to continue to abuse you. But forgiveness just means releasing them from the debt that they owe you. Because most of the time, they're not even thinking about the debt that they owe. You're the one who is struggling with that. You're the one who's paying the debt against yourself. And if you're still in this place where you're struggling with forgiveness to even forgive somebody, or struggling, maybe you feel like you're forgiven, but you just don't know what life looks like now to forgive somebody and to keep going, you're not alone. I'm with you. I'm preaching this message to myself. I have relationships in my life where I'm like, okay, I feel like I've forgiven, but now I have no idea what life looks like to live in unity with that person. But we have to forgive. I can't live my life in bondage to that. We have to, for our own sake, and because God has called us to learn to forgive people in our lives that have wronged us. Main point number two, forgiveness from others. This is something I don't think we talk a lot about in church. We talk a lot about we need to forgive others, but we don't talk a ton. And we talk about how we need to forgive others. We talk about how we need to ask God for forgiveness. We don't talk a lot about how we need to seek forgiveness from other people. Dealing with forgiveness issues against us, that's really uncomfortable. I think a lot of times we want to just say, hey, if somebody has a problem with me, they need to come to me and we'll hash it out. You know, if you're not man enough to just bring it to me, whatever. Unfortunately, that's not how the scripture says we're supposed to deal with it at all. Matthew chapter 5, again, the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. I think in modern day, that would mean like literally if you're sitting here in church and you're worshiping Jesus and you remember somebody has something against me, there is a relationship that is broken and I have wronged that person, leave. Leave worship and go deal with it. Go reconcile that relationship to the best of your ability, whatever you can do. Don't just say, eh, if they bring it up. Maybe that's something that we need to ask ourselves. Are there relationships that are broken because of something that I've done? And how do I reconcile that? Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's right in the middle of him talking about hellfire and murder and prison and adultery. So he's in the middle of talking a whole bunch of this real serious stuff, and then he throws in the middle like, oh, by the way, you need to go make your relationships right. Maybe we need to think about that. Maybe there's things we don't even realize we've wronged people in. And we need to ask God, God, show me the relationships that I've wronged somebody. Help me to make them right. We do have to be careful about that. I was thinking about this. I didn't say this last service, but I thought about it. If somebody doesn't even know that you wronged them, it's probably not the best idea to go tell them, like, that you wronged them because they don't even realize it. I had a guy walk up to me one time in Bible college, and he's like, hey, man, I was just praying, and like, I really felt like I needed to apologize to you. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And he's just like, I just really don't like you. And I was like, oh, thank you. I had no clue that like there was any friction between me and this guy. He's like, I don't know what it is, just a personality conflict, but I feel like I need to apologize because I've never liked you. Like, thanks. All right. So yeah, if they don't even know you wronged them, probably don't just go throw that in their face. Like, hey, you're a terrible person. That's not what we should do. But if you've wronged somebody and you know it, don't just sit on that. Seek forgiveness, seek reconciliation. And maybe it's just a matter of like being able to give your side of the story, but do all that you can to make those relationships right. Main point number three, forgiveness from God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that most Christians absolutely believe that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is able to cleanse everybody from their sins. We believe that God's grace and mercy is phenomenal and he can make all of us right and everything is good. We believe that for everybody else, but not totally for ourselves. Because you look at other people and you're like, yeah, he's not perfect. She's got a couple flaws, but they're basically a decent person and God can totally forgive them. But you know your own darkest, grossest stuff that you don't know about anybody else. And so when you think about the forgiveness of God, you think, yeah, it's really great for everyone else, but maybe I'm too bad. Maybe what I've got going on is actually unforgivable because I know how dark it is in here. When we look at ourselves, we aren't just seeing the little imperfections that we see in other people. We are seeing the worst of what we have inside. But we need to see the truth that God does see the innermost parts of every single person here, every person in the world. He sees the darkest corners of who we are and the brightest spotlights of who we are, and he forgives everybody who calls upon his name. Everybody. One pastor, Judd Wilhite, said this. I really liked it. If you don't believe God has forgiven you, you are actually saying God needs to do more for your forgiveness and that Jesus' sacrifice was not enough. And that's the truth. If you really don't believe that Jesus could forgive you, then you're saying that his sacrifice on the cross, what he gave for you, was just not enough. That somehow you are the one exception to the almighty grace of God. Which really ultimately comes down to pride. You think you're the one person who's so bad that God can't forgive you? Absolutely not. We have to learn to embrace the forgiveness from God to us. It comes down to a question: do I believe that God is faithful or not? And if I do believe that God is faithful, then I have to believe what 1 John says, that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Walk in freedom today, knowing that you are not the one exception to the grace of God. God modeled forgiveness for us in a revolutionary way. He sent his son to die on the cross for us, to give everything for us. He sent Jesus to a world full of people that were broken, knowing full well that they would reject and kill his son, knowing that they would torture Jesus. He still sends Jesus to forgive us of our sins, knowing everything about us. So how can I or you or anybody stand before God someday and say, I know that you forgave everything, all of my darkest sins, but I just couldn't forgive other people? And I know how hard that is, guys. I do. I know there's a party that still says, I can't forgive. You can. Not by your own power, but by the power of God, who gave forgiveness to all, who gave his son's life for all of us. Only by his power can you walk in forgiveness. Can you be forgiven by God? You can make reconciliation with other people that you've wronged. You can make your relationships right again. All of it only by the power of God. I don't know where each person in this room today is at when it comes to this question of now what? Forgiveness. Maybe you haven't even surrendered your life to God yet. Maybe you're sitting here and this whole forgiveness thing is like new. I pray if that's true for you, then I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. I hope that you hear this message and the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart and says, it's time. It's time to be forgiven and it's time to forgive. And if that's the case, there's going to be people over here praying for people after I'm done. And like, go pray and ask God to be your Savior. Ask him to forgive you. And maybe you're not the kind of person who would go up to the cross. Even if you're just out there by yourself, you can pray that yourself. Just, God, save me. Forgive me for my sins. It can be that simple. But if you do that, tell somebody. Tell somebody, because the Word of God tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths, that we will be saved. So tell somebody that you came with. Just grab some random person and tell them. And let us know, even if it's just a comment card. We want to pray for you and we want to celebrate that you did that. But if that's where you're at right now, you just need to start that forgiveness with Jesus for the first time. Do it. Do it today. Don't let another day pass where you are being destroyed by unforgiveness and sin. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you know there's a relationship that's broken. you need to do everything in your power to make that right. You need to seek that person out. Or maybe you can't find them. You need to do whatever work you got to do in your own heart and pray fervently that God will bring you to a place of forgiveness so that you are not being trapped and hindered by unforgiveness. Maybe you're the one who's wronged somebody else. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you today to make that relationship right. And maybe it's a long time ago. My family has been known in the past generations to hold grudges for decades. Maybe you have a family like that, and there's some relationships you need to make right from a long time ago. All of those things we say, oh, it's just a thing back here, but it's not. It hinders you from being who God has made you to be. You cannot move forward when your relationships with people and with God are broken. If we do these things, if we surrender our lives to God, if we ask forgiveness for the ways that we've wronged other people, if we make right the relationships with other people who have wronged us, if we do everything in our power to stop being held down, stop being imprisoned by unforgiveness, if we do all of those things, we can live up into a life of freedom and forgiveness and forgiveness. And that is what God desires for his children. A life that is abundant and full and free. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for forgiving us and for modeling for us what forgiveness looks like. I pray that today would be the day for many people, whether surrendering for the first time or making right relationships that need to be made right. I pray right now, God, if somebody is sitting here and they know that something's wrong, some relationship is broken, that even now as we worship, like you tell us in your word, to just get up, to leave our worship at the altar and to go and make it right, I pray right now that they would do that if they need to. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.